This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Happy Friday, everybody. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Welcome to this program. Glad to be here for the next 4 hours. After that, no promises.
No?
We know we're going to be here for the next 4 hours, but Right. Who knows? How are you?
I can't begin to convey my disappointment.
In?
So I'm driving home yesterday. I decided to stop off at the grocery store because I needed some groceries. And I said, you know what? Let's go down the aisle here where the Pop-Tarts are.
Oh, look for the banana bread Pop-Tarts.
Let's find those banana bread Pop-Tarts. Let's make something happen. I'd bring them in for the boys, and we'd have a taste test on the air.
Yeah.
Nope. None.
No.
They had none of them. None. They had Pop-Tarts. They didn't have those Pop-Tarts.
You know, the website said Ass had a thing where you could find them, so maybe I'll look them up.
I mean, I looked at when I Googled it, banana bread Pop-Tarts, they pop up, that literally popped up on the Google search, and the first thing it shows was a grocery store that I went to.
So they were supposed to be there?
I was led to believe that they had them there.
Yeah.
But maybe they have them there in Orlando or, you know, Osceola or something like that. I don't know.
Road trip.
Yeah. But did not have them
okay.
In Metro Detroit, at least where I went.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. It says, we're sorry, we can't find any sellers of this product, local sellers of this product near our studios.
So disappointed. So yeah. That really bums me out because... You know, by the time I went there and then I was closer to home, I the other option was going to be to go to Taco Bell and see if I could find that birthday cake churro.
Yeah. Hey,
but
man.
That was a non.
It's a man who sets goals, people. Sets goals.
And then I sit down, hunker down, and watch the game last night. And as much as I'd like to say, look, am I disappointed the United States didn't win? Yes, of course I'm disappointed with that. But because this mid-season tournament really doesn't mean anything. It was just awesome to watch.
Yep.
And incredible. Look, great for those teams that went out there, left it all out there on the ice. The Canadians should feel very proud of themselves and probably extraordinarily relieved at the same time. And then you're watching the Americans. I mean, the way they reacted was like a Stanley Cup playoff win, right?
Yeah, they put a lot into it.
And it was great. And that's what you want to see. You want to see the heart and the determination and, you know, a clean game. And it was a clean game. It was high paced. That was not the overtime I expected. With 5-on-5, those guys wanted to end the game.
Yeah.
You know, both sides are like, we're not screwing around. We're not waiting for the other team to make the mistake. We're going to take it to them. And both sides played that way. Both sides had their opportunities. And then you get the Connor McDavid goal and, you know, things end right before 11:30 last night, but it was such a great, great game and a great couple of games, United States and Canada.
You always, like, when events like this take place, there's always sort of in the wake of it, you wonder, does this sport get a boost? You know, and we've done this so many times, and it typically really doesn't. You know, there's small signs of it, and I'll give you an example. How big is this for women's soccer? We had a professional league, for a minute there, and there still is incarnations of that league. you know, I hope this really does boost hockey, but I think you got a lot of people sampling the product and seeing it, I put in quotes, at its best, and you didn't have to be, there's different levels of hockey fan, right? There's hardcore hockey fan that watches whatever game he can find on TV, from the World Juniors through college puck straight to the NHL, and they don't care if it's Vegas or Carolina, they're watching. There's Red Wing fan that just sits down and watches every Red Wing game. There's casual fan, and then there's just non-hockey fan. And I think that's a game that all four levels of hockey fan, and there's probably nuances in between, but everybody can enjoy, whether you're a fan of the sport or not. And it is, cut it. It ended last night, and Kang sent out a text, and now for the fastest slap shot contest, which cracked me up because that's what normally, like, that's what all-star activities used to be, and they might have replaced the all-star format forever with let's do something different that can have a true impact and showcase of this sport. So there's a lot of good that came out of it, and I enjoyed the hell out of watching this thing, which wasn't, it's almost embarrassing the level of the delta between what it meant 9 days ago, 10 days ago, and what it meant last night. I watched it early last week we said, okay, so All-Star break, and what's that thing they're doing? That's where I was. Okay. I mean, and I get hardcore hockey fan is like mad. You should have known. And I couldn't wait for this. I knew it would be great. Got it. But
they shouldn't be mad. But I mean, I think, even when we discussed, I'm like, well, yeah, I was looking forward to it. I wanted to see, you know, Sweden because I'm Swedish. Wanted to see them get out there and take on the Canadians, which was the first game. And I was going to be into it, but I didn't realize how into it I was going to be. I mean, even if you're a hardcore hockey fan, you have to admit that your interest level amped up exponentially because of the way that the game, the style of game was played from the first game of the tournament to last Saturday night's game with USA and Canada to last night. And we just built up to this amazing crescendo. It was awesome.
And we all have our strengths and weaknesses in terms of like what we know about or care about, the level of interest that we have. Ours are, I mean, believe me, when you do this job, it starts to get shaped by what you see the audience react to and what, you know, the numbers show you that they want to hear the most. And that sort of dictates how you watch sports and how you talk about sports. But I guess on this day, I'd like to, I mean, there's a lot to get into, but I think the biggest thing is, why isn't hockey bigger? Because last night was a great showcase of the game. Saw how great the game can be. Every game's not like that, right? Got it. When Vegas does visit Carolina, it's not that good. It could be great, but it might not be as intense and as great as that was last night.
I have a couple of answers here. The first thing I wanted to say before I address that is that, you know, you asked the question about, you know, where does it go from here? The benefit for the NHL was that this was mid-season. This wasn't at the end of the year, and then you got to wait 4 months before the season starts to really, are we going to see any ripple effect, whatever. The NHL is going to find out right away. In fact, on Saturday, when they carry a couple games on NBC, they're going to find, and one of them being the Red Wings, they're going to find out right away if they're getting a bump, if people are tuning into the NHL now because, you know, haphazardly they decided to tune in to the nations, the four nations, you know, face-off. As far as why isn't hockey popular?
I want you to sit on it we'll get to some of the people. We'll get to some of the people. Well, we don't need you emptying the clip just yet. 248-539-9797. I want to know from the audience, why is it hockey bigger? It's such a showcase. This is a hockey town. There are people that sampled it and just checked it out. What do you think the biggest reason is? And maybe this springboards it to another level. What, you know, how big of a springboard it is? It's probably not that big, but what is it about the sport that keeps it from being as embraced as the hardcore hockey fan wants it to be? 248-539-9797. Want to have a healthier New Year? Start by giving your family the best water available just by contacting CGC Water. This month, save $500 on the Kinetico Premier Softener and get a free Kinex Salt Monitor with purchase Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember this, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Don't be the filter. CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing can take care of all your plumbing needs. Save 10% off any water heater. We got one of those tankless water heaters. We love it. And we got it from CGC Water. Your authorized independent Kinetico dealer. Call 855-339-4242. Okay, look, I mean, it was important for Austin Matthews to just go cover Nathan MacKinnon in a non-dangerous spot behind the red line, but okay, whatever. You know, it happens.
Jeez.
It happens. And I guess maybe I could make, you could make
the argument. I'm on the offensive side, too.
MacKinnon is dangerous no matter where he has the puck.
Yeah, but,
that's kind of an area that you don't worry as much down there in the corner below the red line. Well, let's leave Connor McDavid wide open.
Is he good?
Yeah. Anyway, Gator, I know you have a long list.
Well, it's not a list. There's just one observation, one thing that I wanted to mention. You say why, you know, isn't hockey like more mainstream or more popular? And I think maybe it's because it's so freaking hard to do. Like if you get inspired and watch the NBA, right? What can I do? I can go find an outdoor hoop somewhere, grab a basketball, and I can shoot. I'm not going to shoot well. I'm not going to dunk, but at least I can work on a game like that. With hockey, you have to know how to skate, first of all.
Yeah.
You need the equipment, and then you need to have a net to shoot at and all types of things. Like, there's just so many more steps involved to get to that point. It's like growing up, there just weren't many kids that are in my neighborhood that were playing hockey. And in hindsight, man, I wish that I had when I was younger because I do love the sport. But it was the first thing you got to do, you got to learn how to skate. You know, you don't have to learn how to, I mean, by the time you're watching basketball, want to play basketball, you know how to run. It's the same thing with football and baseball. You've already got some of those skills. Now, baseball, I need a mitt. I need somebody to throw with, although I could throw a ball against a wall or whatever, you know. I can hit off a tee. You know, football is a little bit different, but these are like the team sport aspects. But skating,
there's a lot. There's
difficult
a lot
to do. It's something completely different that you have to learn.
You can dribble a basketball in your driveway. You can chip a golf ball in your front yard. You can play catch with baseball. You can throw a football around. It's definitely something that takes some effort. But 248-539-9797. Such a great
big
showcase.
Hurdle.
And look, the hardcore hockey fan, and believe me, we see and hear from them all the time that want more Red Wing talk, and I understand if that's your thing. It's tough. You try to be all things to all people, but this sport, and that's such a great showcase. How could it get bigger? How could it get bigger where, you know, people can appreciate it for what it is? And I think, you know, exposing it to new fans over the last week and a half probably helped. And the USA and Canada putting on a show. Rob is in Kitchener, Ontario, and he's on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Rob.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
We're good. All right.
Good. I think Gator's right about the barriers to entry, but there's no barrier to entry to watching. Well, nowadays with streaming, there's a few. I'll grant you that. But look at yourself, and I know Doug, you had it with a caller or texter last week, but you have an American player who's the captain of the Detroit Red Wings who's unbelievable.
Great.
And watching him in this tournament should show you, hey, obviously this isn't Team USA, but you have Captain USA on your team. I think this could be a huge thing, not for generally just for people playing hockey, but people watching hockey. It might be cooler now than it ever has been.
I got to tell you, and you brought up Dylan Larkin, and Dylan Larkin earning more ice time on this team was awesome. And look, injury played a role, but he was on the ice first shift in overtime. He had the third most shifts amongst forwards on the team. You know, he had a lot of ice time. He was a plus player. Dylan Larkin earned, you know, greater standing on that team as that tournament went on, and I'm excited about it. I really am. I think the respect for Dylan Larkin and the way Mike Sullivan used him, I think it was great. And yeah, he comes home, and in my view, in the standing of the NHL, he gets bumped because of how he got used as this tournament went on. I mean, there was only one penalty kill, but he was on the ice for a minute 20 of it. Nobody else was on there for more than a minute. You know, yeah. he was great last night.
Guys, imagine this, and this is a local thing, but imagine the Red Wings make the playoffs and they play the Leafs in round one. How good would that be for Metro Detroit / the area of Ontario, Essex County? You had somebody call. Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
That's a real possibility.
Yeah, and not just great locally. That's great for the NHL.
NHL would
love that. Two original six teams going at it. You know, you get a Canadian team and an American team going at it, let alone two that have the history they do. It'd be fantastic.
Let's go to Shane in Macomb on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Shane.
Good morning, boys. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, that would be awesome if Detroit got to play Toronto. I think that would give a rivalry to our team again. But more importantly, I think it was Karsh that said something about the churros at Taco Bell. What did you actually think of them? Because I thought they were pretty good. They maybe could have used some caramel or another flavor.
Well, it was me that said it, and I didn't get a chance to get them because I was going to go after work yesterday, and I made my decision. I'll go to the grocery store and pick up the banana bread flavored Pop-Tarts, and the grocery store didn't have them. And, you know, by that point, I'm already basically home. So I didn't go for the churro. I may have to go for the churros today after work, but the birthday cake churros look delicious.
Did you get the birthday cake one? Is that what you're saying?
I did, yes. Yeah. I thought they were delicious. They could have used a little more filling, but what would have been even cooler is if they took that caramel empanada and put it into the churro. That would have been amazing, too.
Caramel empanada is so good.
It just you can also mainline the sugar. Like
it's a caramel apple. There's apples in there, too, Doug. It's healthy. There's okay. an apple in it.
Oh, good, yeah. good, yeah.
Have a great day, boys.
Thanks for the review, Shane. 248-539-9797. Ryan's in his car next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ryan. Ryan. Ryan, are you there?
No good.
We go to Brian in Livonia. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, I'm chiming in on, first of all, I loved that game last night. Watch it to the end. It was very exciting. However, hockey is like chaos, changing shifts, full speed the whole game. I think what's missing for me, anyway, is a man on third, bottom of the ninth, tie score. Man, what's going to happen here? Or a fourth and one on a 10-yard line with time running out. Those special moments where it's so exciting and you're just on the edge of your seat. Okay, last night was exciting because the overtime win. But a hockey game doesn't have moments like that for me.
Interesting. So, because I think some people would argue, and the moments you described, you anticipate them. There's a pause. There's buildup. There's it builds to a crescendo, and then that pitch is delivered or the ball is snapped.
Hockey doesn't slow down.
Hockey doesn't slow down, which some people, Brian, think is a strength.
So it makes a difference.
Okay. It is a strength, but it's a different kind of strength, you know? And I guess I'm not as interested in that.
I guess that's the difference. That's a big difference in the game, right? It's hockey doesn't really allow you time to catch your breath. And if you want to have that signature moment like he's talking about, it either only comes in overtime or it comes on a penalty shot or it comes on when a team commits a penalty and you know that here comes the power play, right?
Yeah.
Those are awesome moments. I mean,
it's interesting that he doesn't find, because I think inherently last night's game fed directly into what he said. He didn't feel it the way I think hockey hits the way that he says it doesn't. It in overtime when it's end to end stuff. I mean,
that was not an overtime period you expected to see.
No, they were kind of wide open.
It was almost like they're saying, look, guys, we don't want to play three overtimes tonight.
I think that might have been
Let's get out there and end this game as quickly as we can.
And
both sides are like, yep. I got a game to play Saturday, man.
Yep.
And it's 12:30. Larkin's like, come on, man.
I think hockey has those moments. The problem is for the average fan, and I'm talking average sports fan or just average Joe watching, is sometimes in the biggest moments in hockey, and I think maybe far too often, you miss those moments. And then what the caller, I think, is trying to say is in football, in basketball, in baseball, you have time to see those moments happening. In hockey, there are many times when a goal, did someone just score, the game's over. You know what I mean? And everyone's celebrating. They didn't see the actual moment. They didn't see the goal being scored. They didn't see the puck. They didn't see who scored the goal. And that's part of the beauty of hockey, but also part of the reason why it doesn't have mass appeal to people that just dropped in.
Such a great showcase of the sport last night. Why isn't it bigger? 248-539-9797. We got a bunch of texts. We got a bunch of calls. We also have another opportunity, and I wonder if hockey will continue to capitalize off momentum. We will get to that today at 10:35 because it's right around the corner. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, warm up your winter with these hot deals from Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. This month, get a 2025 Chevy Trax LS for just $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. Pay only $259 a month with zero down and approved credit. And your GM employee discount. Don't forget, Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. And that means they have hundreds of inventories, Silverados, Equinox, Blazers, Trax, NEVs, hundreds on the ground to choose from. Stay warm and say Sarah. These offers end March 3rd. Call 87-SAY-SARAH. Go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. It really was. That was Connor McDavid following the win. Canada wins 3-2 in overtime. And what a great event. Congrats to our Canadian friends. And I heard it from my cousins last night, some good-natured chirping.
Sure.
I got them literally from Victoria, British Columbia, all the way to Nova Scotia. We had a good text thread going during that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in the end there was a lot of goodwill. It starts off the national anthem, and you can hear a bunch of boos. And I said this to myself prior to one of the announcers making the point of it. I think it was Steve Levy at the in the intermission. After, you know, maybe 15, 20 seconds on the anthem, the boos ended up changing to everyone singing the national anthem for Canada because everybody knows the Canadian national anthem, and it was cool.
Yeah, Sean McDonough made the comment right afterwards. Yeah, Sean McDonough said, hey, they – that changed. I went from booing to everybody singing. So bravo.
to people in Boston.
Well done, Boston. Something I probably won't say a whole time.
Right. it seemed like, for the most part, people were being respectful.
Yeah.
And hopefully staying safe.
always key. And look, you know, we're hockey fans here. Hockey's place in Detroit is kind of cemented. I think the hardcore hockey fan always wants more. And the question is, you know, what will make it bigger? You know, you always go through the inevitable questions get asked, you know, how good, you know, what kind of bump will a sport get? Well, I don't know what kind of bump this is going to lead to for hockey, but I mentioned it before the break. The Red Wings are playing Columbus in the Shoe next week. On a nationally televised game, it's actually good timing. Coming out of this thing to have a spectacle.
Get 80,000 people there.
Yeah. I think the outdoor hockey games have lost the uniqueness where everybody doesn't make it appointment viewing. But I think people will check it out. Hopefully those two teams will go play a good game.
Hopefully the weather holds up.
Hopefully the weather holds up. And hopefully, just because of the venue, it taps into an undercurrent of Michigan, Ohio State, where we get a epic game, a game that has a little bit of edge to it. And we could see that. We could see that, whether we do or we don't, I don't know. But it's another opportunity to showcase a great sport that maybe we'll get a little bit of a bump from that as well. We've got some ticket texts coming in at 248-539-9797. Will writes in, as the game progressed and the cameras kept panning on this guy, I found myself becoming more and more mad at Matthew Tkachuk. You were clearly not right, and you should have given that spot up for a healthy guy. Those forwards were gassed.
Yep. I understand not wanting to come out in that situation. You know, you're there. You're part of it. You had such a huge role a week ago of inspiring your teammates and stuff, and you want to be part of this thing. You want to celebrate in the end. But if you couldn't go, you shouldn't have gone. And he played 6 minutes. Some would say, well, courageous 6 minutes. Well, yeah, ish, you know, because
you're not having
any
of it.
Well, no, I like Matthew. I'm maybe one of the few people here in town that like the Kachucks is in terms of hockey players. I think they're awesome hockey players, and I think every fan base would embrace having those guys in your team because that's the type of player you need. And we saw in the tournament, these guys hit everything, and they have talent to score. So, but if you're not going to be able to do what you do, which is go out and hit guys and score, then step aside. And he didn't step aside. Did it end up hurting the team in the end? You know, only the team knows how gassed they were or if it really affected them. You know, some of the benefits of that is that, hey, you know what? Dylan Larkin step up and play 20 minutes in the game last night that probably wouldn't get 20 minutes if Matthew Tkachuk was playing.
248-539-9797. More feedback via ticket text. I think hardcore Red Wing fans are excited about Larkin and Raymond's performances and how it can affect the rest of the season's push for the playoffs. That's from an unnamed texter. Next text, this is interesting. There were a lot of Wings fans annoyed with this tournament because we had all kinds of momentum and a long winning streak prior to the break.
Yeah, there is that. It came at a horrible time for the Red Wings. We'll see how it affects them tomorrow when they take the ice at an earlier game at 12:30.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't like that there was a kill of the momentum, but that's the break does that every year. It does it for all teams. You know, now some teams are like, thank God the break came here. Let's regroup and figure things out. And some teams like the Red Wings, like, damn, we were just getting going.
Well, the break usually isn't this long, right? I mean, this is a pretty...
This was a longer break.
This is a longer break. And so if people want to be mad, I think I can get it. I've missed watching the Red Wings and the Pistons. So 248-539-9797. Matt's in St. Clair Shores, and he is next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Sterling. Hey, Gator. How's it going?
All right.
Sterling.
So I think what was successful about this tournament is it was pushed on us, and it was easily accessible to see on TV. I don't even know where the Red Wings are playing, what network they're playing on, what the name of the app is, or if it's going to be on Apple or wherever to watch them next. So it's the idea of it just completely loses its momentum. And then to your point about, like, equipment cost, I know you were just going on about rebates yesterday, but, like, if you're buying a kid some skates, like, those should be, like, $10. Because you know their parents are going to get skates to play with them, right? And you get them hooked young, then you can play. And honestly, if they wanted to really run up on this momentum, they should just slash ticket prices for the next 2 to 3 weeks, waive fees on Ticketmaster to get bodies into the stadium. The NHL just had such poor marketing. They've sold themselves out to these streaming services to make money.
Yeah.
And there's just been no give back to, like, make it accessible. Like, use some of that money to, like, partner with like CCM or somebody, like buy an adult skate, get a kid skate for like $10 or something to get those kids who can't skate or they grow up to learn how to skate to actually be able to play the sport.
You know, it's interesting because like at Ski Hills, most kids are free and we're going to get you into this and golf, like I took my kids golfing when they were young and kids were free in an effort or really cheap in an effort to hook them young. And it's great marketing. Look, the NHL has a deal with ESPN and ABC right now. And the Red Wings play, I believe, Saturday on ABC. The weird thing is that game in Columbus in the Horseshoe next Saturday, a week from Saturday, is an ESPN game. It's not an over-the-air game. But the NHL apparently has something that America's Pastime doesn't have, and that's a home on ESPN.
All right.
Because it was announced yesterday that baseball and ESPN, Major League Baseball and ESPN, are parting ways, which is kind of a bit of a surprising development. But, you know, does hockey now have a better TV deal than baseball?
No, I don't think so. I think the reason that this is happening is because baseball probably has a better deal to move away from ESPN. That somebody saw, yeah, that's my gut tells me that. I mean,
I think it's just the opposite.
I think baseball, the rumors that baseball wants to take over their own coverage anyway. And
yeah,
park it like whether it's on Amazon or whatever, and they'll make money off that.
They might make money off it, but do you think that's a better TV deal if it's streamed?
If look, I hate streaming, but if it's going to make money for the sport, Like the NFL is going to do it too, piece by piece.
I don't think it's good for the sport if they're taking it off more accessible air. But hey.
Well, if the trend, if more and more people are going streaming and cutting the cord, and then don't, you know, you have the same access to Amazon that you do to ESPN or whatever else, whatever service is going to be there.
I think accessibility is hockey's, is what hockey would want more so than money from a TV deal, which sounds weird, but I believe it. 248-539-9797. Why isn't hockey bigger? Two words. Pierre Maguire. That guy has a way of ruining any broadcast. That's from an unnamed texter.
Pierre Maguire.
That's why I, you know, I talk to average sports guy. That's why he says he doesn't watch hockey.
Yeah, yeah. Pierre Maguire. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the first two words come out of his mouth.
He's one word. Edzo.
Here's a good one from Scott.
Don't say Edzo ever again.
Why isn't hockey bigger? One big reason. The NFL keeps going until February, and it eclipses what's going on the entire first half of the hockey season. I'll admit, I don't really start caring about hockey till the Super Bowl is over.
That's probably a very salient point. Yeah, but
it doesn't help, but basketball deals with the same problem. Basketball and hockey compete against the NFL every single year because they're all three are going on at the same time.
Nice counterpoint.
So the thing is, though, with hockey is I think four nations can definitely make hockey bigger. I just don't think it can make it big, and I don't think anything – I'm not sure anything ever can make hockey big, and that's okay. You know, like I think continue to grow the sport, but also in the back of your mind know that it's probably always going to be number four in America. There's just too many fundamental things that they would have to change drastically that I don't think they should. Like – people can't see the puck. People don't know who's on the ice. People don't know who, you know, when they're on the ice. Things like that where it's easily identifiable in the other three sports. You know when a guy's at bat. You know who's on the mound at all times. You know who's on the court at all times for basketball. You know who the quarterback is. You know where the running back is. In hockey, with the line changes, and I'm just talking for you like your average Joe, right, trying to gain popularity here. He can't follow that.
You know what's interesting is I thought they dropped the ball a little bit. They had an uncumbersome graphic they put on the bottom with who was on the ice. And it's not like they do that in Red Wing games. I don't need it in Red Wing games. I kind of know who all the Red Wings are. I can tell who they are. Once you get familiar with them, you can almost tell by the way they skate and their body type, who I'm watching, how tall they are. On this team, with everybody wearing new numbers, I had to really try to see when it was Larkin. And like Larkin, sometimes I go, it's the fast guy. Well, they're all fast in the four nations, right? And they're all wearing, many of them are wearing different numbers. I wish they left that graphic up the whole time. I think it would have helped even somebody who really, really likes hockey and typically doesn't need it.
Well, I think it would have been great when they introduced the players to start the game that you actually put the name of the player on the screen so you can see it. If you can't understand what the announcer is saying in the background, the stadium announcer. And, you know, they're showing the player, and the camera skates right up to him. You got the little kid next to him, then they come up to the player. They didn't show who it was.
Weird.
Like, if you know hockey, you probably know who these guys are, but if you don't, hey, how about a little clue? Give me a heads up. How about who the player is? Maybe give me a position, height, weight, maybe some stats, maybe where he plays.
Min.
Something.
Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. And once they take your case, they'll communicate with you. They are the best at customer service and satisfaction. You wouldn't go to a doctor who specializes in all sorts of medicine. Why would you do that with your lawyer? Specialization really, really matters. And it's why they have the largest auto accident settlement and largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. They care more, so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Old man Crosby, huh? When he took his helmet off and the gray hair was showing, I'm like, well, well, well.
Because he wasn't the prominent figure on that team,
yeah, he
is
wasn't.
It easier to take?
No.
I mean, he's still irritable because he's Sidney Crosby, but you know, it's Connor McDavid, right? And McDavid needed that moment last night, I feel like his country is really pissed at him because he hasn't won the Stanley Cup yet, which would win one for Canada.
Yeah,
that they haven't won in forever. He's the best player in the world, and I think he needed that signature moment, and he got it last night.
248-539-9797. Michigan and Michigan State play tonight. We'll get to that today at 11:02. Back to your phone calls. Dave is in Waterford and next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah, just outstanding tournament. You know what I mean? That's the best hockey I've seen in 10 years easily, I think. And we come from a big hockey family. Both my kids played college hockey. And
where do they play, Dave?
My son, my son played club hockey at Michigan. But my daughter played D3 at, I don't know if you ever heard of Plattsburgh, New York.
Plattsburgh State?
Yeah. And at the time, it was the top D3 team, and only one of us that won a national championship. She did it as a freshman, second-line center. She was a core player. But nice. And then my son lived in Boston, and he was lucky enough. He's like, I think I got to go to this game. So he bought tickets. He and his girl bought tickets, I don't know, days, you know, quite a few days ago. And for the championship game at the Garden there, and you know, he dropped like $400 a piece. But he was telling me, he's like, dude, this may be the last time Crosby ever puts on a national jersey. And you know, they just had a great time, and he probably could have sold them for $1,300 or $1,500, but they said, no, we got to see this. And then as far as you know, losing, yeah, that's a bummer, but. You know, how perfect for McDavid. If anyone needs to score that goal, it's him. And so I was happy for him. And my take on it, though, is I think they should do this every maybe 4 years opposite the years of Olympic hockey and leave Olympic hockey for D1 and junior players. You know what I mean? You'd have to expand this tournament to, you know, at least 16s, you know, the Russians and the Czechs and probably Switzerland and maybe Germany, but and where you fit it in around the NHL schedule, I don't know. But
I kind of want to see the NHL players. I think you get the World Championships every year or the World Junior Championships every year. That takes care of those other players, but I want to see the best on best.
I mean, seriously, the fact that next year we get to do this all over again and it's more important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's freaking awesome. And the fact that they're bringing back the World Cup, like we might see this rotation where it's four nations, Olympics, old school all-star game, World Cup, four nations, Olympics, like this rotation. Cause you know, it's just a marketing opportunity, right? I mean, yeah. And so whatever you can do, and maybe we don't ever do an All-Star game ever again. Maybe they introduce something else, but you know, there is something that you will never recapture. I don't know if he's trying to, by leaving it to the college kids, he's trying to tap into something that happened in 1980. Because I don't know if we can ever recreate that. Probably not. They only, you know, because that was college kids against professionals. But
well, against the Russians were professionals. The, you know, the Canadians were not.
No, but our a lot of the
Swedes were not.
No, but there were professionals playing in that tournament. We were college kids.
Yeah, everybody was except for Russia, basically.
The Czechs weren't.
Maybe the Czechs were to an extent, but the Czechs had some players, I think, in the NHL at that time. They definitely had some NHL players at that time.
But so I'm going to guess Russia that they're not going to take this opportunity and say, let's turn the Olympics back over to college kids after what we just saw.
No, like I said, we've got the World Junior Championships. Those are great. You want to tune into that? It's awesome.
Yep. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin, when he got in on Binnington there, who, by the way, answered a lot of critics last night. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
When he got in on Binnington there, I certainly was hopeful he was going to score, and that was probably his best scoring chance last night. He was second on the team amongst forwards in time on the ice in the first period. He was again amongst the leaders after two periods. He was on ice for the first shift in overtime. He finished with the fifth most ice time amongst forwards. He was second amongst forwards in hits in that game. He was plus one last night. He killed the penalty. He was out there for a minute 20 of the penalty. These are the leaders in shifts last night. Brady Tkachuk, 34. Austin Matthews, 33. Dylan Larkin, 32. He clearly distinguished himself. Was he Connor McDavid? No. But he was like an elite glue guy that did a lot of different things for his team. I am excited about what we saw from Dylan Larkin. I think Dylan Larkin went into this series as thought of, and you know, we got feedback that said as much, you know, third, fourth line guy. And his responsibility went up as this series went on. And I think it's awesome that he distinguished himself in that way.
Yeah, I think last night he was a catalyst. Every time he was on the ice, you saw his presence, whether he was hitting somebody or he was digging the puck out and clearing the zone, or he was creating a scoring opportunity for himself or for others. He was absolutely a catalyst last night, and he's been playing like that for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely revitalized since Todd McClellan took over with the Red Wings. There's no question that this entire Red Wing team has been that way, and Dylan Larkin continued to play like that in this tournament, which was great. But you know, since McClellan came over, you got a bunch of guys that are like point of game guys again. Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, Alex DeBrincat, Patrick Kane are all playing at a really high level, and so is Mo Seider on the back end. It's fun to see, and you hope that they can continue to do that. He's having himself a pretty good season, and it's not his best season that he's had statistically, but it feels like he's really kind of getting things together here, and he's on a run right now where he may end up having his best season statistically. 23 goals in 55 games. His career high in goal scoring was last year when he had 33 in 68 games. So knock on wood, he's been healthy. Is he going to be a 30-goal scorer again? Yeah, he should be. Can he approach 40? I mean, I think it was one of your bold-ass predictions, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
So
recorded somewhere.
Yeah, this is a rewrite. A few weeks ago, you said that. So it's, I like where he's at. I think he is really establishing himself as being one of the true, really good players in this league. Absolutely one of the best American players out there. And we had the guy that Ticket Texas last week was kind of, you know, trolling a little bit and being down on Dylan Larkin, which is ridiculous after you watch this tournament, how he has played. He's been fantastic. And prior to the coaching change, the Red Wings were playing lethargic hockey. They looked like they were disinterested. They, you know, looked like they just going through the motions, don't even want to play hockey anymore, tired of answering questions afterwards, just like, oh, put me out of my misery. And who knew what was going on behind the scenes? These guys even want to be here. It seems like they all want to be here now. There's a new energy about this team, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they come and hit the ice tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be good to have them back. And, I initially was not exactly stoked for Four Nations. I'm glad it happened. Couldn't have been more wrong about its impact. And
well, how about having him as the leader of this team? The way that he played in this tournament, and just look at the game last night. You mentioned he was second in hits. He had four hits, and Brady Tkachuk led the team with five.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was a distant second. I mean, he had one less hit. He was really throwing his weight around. And if you've watched this team, like the way that he's played the last month and a half since McClellan took over, that's how he has played. He's been this complete player. We knew he was good defensively. We knew he was good offensively. But we're seeing a different, a little bit of a mean streak in Dylan Larkin, too. He's sticking up for himself. He's willing to throw his body out there on the line, and I think it's contagious with the rest of his team.
ESPN put together the early look at the Olympic roster 1 year from now, and they have players who are mortal locks to be on the team. There are seven forwards that are mortal locks to be on the team. Jack Eichel, Jake Guentzel, Jack Hughes, Austin Matthews, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, he belongs there.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.